Well, good evening and welcome to another edition of Ireland Calling, which has brought you the great support of the Hugh Green Group. You're listening to us in Auckland on Planet FM on Wednesday, down in Christchurch and Plains FM on Saturday, Capitol Coast and Wellington Access Radio on Sunday. And welcome to everybody joining us on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and indeed around the globe. Well, we opened up the programme tonight with our own Levine, and it was exactly 100 years ago on Sunday since Aron Levine was declared the official national anthem of Ireland. And of course, if you are watching the All-Ireland Hurling Final this weekend on GAA+, you'll see that played before the final between Galway and Limerick, played by the Arcane Boys Band. You won't hear it as Eden Park on Saturday night when Ireland are playing the All Blacks. That's another story. We'll hear Ireland's call. But on the programme tonight, we've got all the latest news from Ireland. We've got a special interview with the former captain of the Galway hurling team back in 1980, Joe Connolly. And Joe joined me yesterday for a lengthy interview, looking back at his time playing for Galway, talking about hurling, and you'll enjoy that. So that's something to look forward to tonight. We'll bring you all the latest news and plenty of music from Ireland. And of course, the weather is still good over there this summer. Is lasting. So it's Galway against Limerick. So no bias on the programme here tonight. We're going to be very fair. We're going to start with Dolores Keane and Galway Bay, and we'll go straight into Limerick, You're a Lady by Dennis Allen. And after that, we'll have the interview with Joe, and we'll bring you news of the football semi-finals. Mayo and Kerry will be in the final after Mayo beat Louth convincingly, and just Kerry overcame Dublin, but a couple of decisions went against Dublin. More about that later on. So Dolores leading us off tonight with Galway Bay, and then Dennis Allen will follow Dolores with Limerick, You're a Lady.
Wonder boy, and long ago the hour I know I first saw in the night, but time nor tide or waters wide could wean my heart away. Forever true it flies to you, my own dear boy. Bear
joy to flow. The beauty that surrounds you, I take it with me, love, wherever I go. While waking in the arms of distant waters, a new day finds me far away from home. Then Limerick, you're my lady, the one true love that I have ever known. Spent endless days of fun in winter snow or summer's golden sun. We fished in silver streams. The fabric of my dreams was fashioned by your loveliness, and so I have to say, Limerick, you're a lady. Tears of joy flow. The beauty that surrounds you, I take it with me, love, wherever I go. While waking in the arms of distant waters, a new day finds me far away from home. Time is made to travelers on their way, seeking out the beauty of our land. A shrine where children pray and bells ring out to say, thank God we're living just to feel the freedom of each day.
Joe, you were captain of the Galway team in the All-Ireland final against Limerick back in 1980. What are your memories of that final?
Yeah, it was a wonderful occasion, Oliver. We hadn't gone into it for 57 years in Galway. And there was a long history of near misses, and even the year before and 4 years before, that I weren't finding beaten by Kilkenny and very strong year with Keep. But just sometimes the stars aligned. We had a great influx of young hurlers from the 1978 team that won the All-Ireland Open, which he won, Steve Batty and Conor Ace, James Cohn, and then older fellas like John, my brother, Niall McInerney. Then it was that kind of a cross, that kind of something else, which I thought. Just a 3-point win over Limerick that day. Great excitement, incredible excitement altogether that people couldn't believe that was long left. all the demons had gone and we were allowed in burning countries, and it was, you know, it's a long time ago. That's the only thing. It's 46 years ago. We cannot live in our past all the time, but any memory you have of it, I could be, it's certainly a joyous one.
The Galway team this year made up of a lot of young players. Will it be hard for the manager, Micheál Donohoe, to keep them focused on the final this week?
Well, there's no problem, I don't think, Albert, keeping them grounded. It's only 2 weeks between the semi-final and final. You know, now I'm not mad about the year in the All-Ireland, the July All-Ireland. I know why it's like that, but I prefer at least a punt into August, but so be it. It's hard to believe the All-Irelands are over by the time the All races start. But there's no problem about keeping them grounded. It's a short time, and he is a superb manager and a great man manager. And it's a very talented backroom team as well as a talented team. But what Galway are up against is probably the most awesome team. One of the two most awesome teams, I think, ever to the Hurling left the Kilkenny team. I'm sure they took the goal, and this Limerick team. Like, they won 5 All-Irelands. They are brilliant. They are physical. They choke you. They are awesomely kind of talented and game plan and everything like that. And that's what the challenge is for Galway. Maybe young legs against old and experienced, older and experienced. Like, so it's a really, really tough challenge. If you stayed in their careers, up against them, but you're in a final and you'd never know. There's plenty of shocks this year, especially in Gaelic football here. So you'd never know on a day.
Galway will go into this game as underdogs, as they were in the semi-final against Cork. Will that suit them?
Well, it's no harm at all, Oliver. It's never. The only thing is, I love going into a final with the team that be maybe underperforming in the semi-final, maybe scrape through. Galway were brilliant in the semi-final, and it was the opposite of that. And very difficult to do these things two games in a row. Look, I'm not one this pessimistic about Galway's chances. I think we're young, we're playing a superb brand of hurling, but you had to take cognizance of kind of who Galway are playing against. There was a photograph in the dressing room a few years ago, the Limerick team, I think, after the one at Munster final, and 3 or 4 of them just in their togs. And honestly, our comment at the time was that you're quite looking at the All Blacks back rows. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just extraordinary physique and strength. They're that a decade of climbing down into where they are now. Great endments and great setup and everything else, you know. So, and tremendous integrity and honesty about their play, Limerick. No chafers, all for the cause and all that, all as it should be. So that's the challenge. Like, but it's great to be in a final. It's great to be in a final because I know we've lost all Ireland's ball games, but we've also won a good few all Ireland's. And the more time you're in it, the better the chance of pulling out something. But I was kind of looking forward from a Galway point of view to the second pass of this decade with our early team. It really feels that, and this really nice hurlers kind of going to come through under superb management. Micheál took a four, Micheál Donohoe, manager. He took a 4-year term as manager, and this is his second, you know, so I think there'll be a lovely team really in a couple of years' time, and we'll see where they are in the grass next Sunday.
There are a lot of young players in the Galway team this year. Do you think that lack of experience will be a telling factor against Limerick?
It is, and two of them are Jason and Ireland and forwards, like KPL Ireland policy by second level school last year, but they are that, and it's the hope. Whatever skill level is of being physically, you know, at the pitch that you need to be for present day inter-county hurling and football. Genuinely, it was non-existent in our time. You know, I hate that term back in our time because there's too much made of it, but we wouldn't come within a mile at these guys today with their physiques and their mental preparation and God knows what else. And it is true about some of our legs are only that age, like, and a few more of them. We had a good cat together in my own club, Derek here, he's a 21 or something as well, 22. So there's an awful lot of you. What they do have is legs and they have exuberance and they will, even after I'm not, they'll keep getting up and they get up, and that's just the mindset they have. I think, like, you'd know from the side of play that they have, like, that they will not be kind of lying down, you know, so whether that's good enough on the day is the other thing.
Many people find it hard to believe that footballers and hurlers in Ireland are all amateurs and only get expenses. Do you think this is fair?
Sure, that's what it's about, and that's what the GAA is about. And the minute money comes into it, here's your money for paying for all your polemic. We're finished. We are finished, because the magic of it is that you pay now for your club, you play for your village, your parish, and your county, and that loyalty thing is unbreakable. And the one thing that can ever take that away is money. And I hope, I just want there to be looked after as well as they can be expensive-wise. And BTA, the Gaelic Players Association, are doing a superb job on educating players and looking after their careers and helping them if they want to change careers, and that being good advice and whatever. There's kind of players in the mid-20s going back to college, that kind of thing, are changing careers. That's only right, because they do give their life to us. They're then a great recent Kilkenny hurler, J.J. Delaney, one of the best jobs ever, one of the best bats ever, one of the best players hurling it ever. And I remember reading one time, Willie Nash, he's about a chapter in January, you know, and then 7 or 8 months before he is going to play another line. And you do commit your whole life. One of the things of GA is that because of that, that they're usually slower to kind of be promoted in careers, like, because they hadn't the hope of going to America for 3 years or going to New Zealand for 3 years to learn more about their job, their entry, like that. If they are going to be, I remember speaking to a fella one time, he was in play parties and he was heading up Twitter Ireland, actually, a lonely fella, but he had spent 2 years in the States, on his journey to what he became. And I was thinking, no GAA player playing inter-county will ever be that at 49, because there's a decade out there, 3 years has been devoted to this amateur sport, purely for that love of and loyalty to their county or whatever like that. So that's something we should always remember, even if our lads don't win or don't play well, you know, they're completely giving their life to us.
As a young lad growing up, was it a dream of yours to play for Galway and get to an All-Ireland final?
It would, of course. Like, we were kind of accidentally almost came to Castlegar in the first place. All my family supporters were from Letchamore in the Connemara Gaelic. And if I could just put a hello there to Jimmy Connolly, well-known in New Zealand, Turkish, Shane Spaghi, as we call him, there, and all his family. That's where our family came from. And we just came to that. Actually, my father got tuberculosis, TB. That's how he happened to come to Castlegar to be chosen to the hospital, which was then in Castlegar. And that's how accidentally became Castlegar in the first place. And Castlegar then was completely all early. And where we got the house was Greater Crofton Ball Race Course. And that's where Castlegar came. And that's where we spent our childhood down in the race course, hurling, football, rugby, whatever sport was on. But hurling was what he took up, and that. And then if you do take up that, you know, Castlegar would have been a strong club, and there might be aspirations of playing for the county someday. And John, the eldest brother, started that, and then we followed a few was like, and that's how it came about. But I think for myself, in my early childhood, the Galway Queen Row football team, 64, 65, 66. I was 7, 8, 9 and Dáil when those three, and I'll never forget them for as long as I live. They're my heroes forever. And then I got up to myself about this Mona White and Galway. And that's kind of what, you know, inspired, I think, a lot of generations of Galway players, what those men ended up playing. But that's just a brief kind of thing. It could have been anywhere, career-wise, like, and luckily it just landed at the right place at the right time to win another with Galway next year.
The celebrations after winning the All-Ireland Final in 1980, 57 years after Galway last won, must have been a fantastic experience for you and all the players. And who'll ever forget Joe McDonagh singing The West's Awake after you lifted the McCarthy Cup and declared, "People of Galway, we love you."
It was wonderful. And one of the things that we will never forget about 1980 that we'll always remember were the great night. You know, we had some brilliant, brilliant fun. We had good days and bad days on the pitch, like, but we always had a great night of ding-dongs. Joe had enough beautiful boys, Joe McDonagh, he had a great repertoire, maybe 8 or 10 of us could belt out something. And in my, after a game, like, well, the memories weren't just the playing, like, it was We didn't know it was bonding at the time. There was never cause that, like, which was that, and it has remained with us all the way since. But unfortunately, five of the team had guys, John Ryan, and like Greg Dempsey, Jimmy Cooney, and there's a few more of them, like, in a tough place at the moment. Like, so time has moved on in life. It's moved on. Yeah. Unfortunately, we've lost some of those heroes of the day. But that's what life is, I suppose, but we do remember them with great fondness, and we remember the times with great fondness as well. And, you know, the opponents, like the Limerick team, I bet they are the Kilkenny team, or the Viaki teams, or whatever like that. They were great men.
I remember Joe.
The era of kind of uncomplicated living and uncomplicated training and kind of uncomplicated hurling. So there's a lot of match men and physicality and whatever, and no helmets and broken teeth and pictures and bad heads and broken noses, and I have to flip in all of them. But you wouldn't change a thing up anyway. And so it was a big part of our life while it left us, and it is fleeting in some way. The even 10 years of inter-county playing is a lot of years, but it just catches as well, and life takes over after that. But there are great, great memories and great friendships.
What are your own plans for the final this weekend, Joe?
Yeah, there's an event in Cork Park on the Friday as well, and I'll be up for that on Saturday, Sunday. It's a brilliant weekend. It's a brilliant gathering. One of my favourite things is out by Cork Park for the hour before you go in, you know, meet past players, and it is genuinely one of the greatest Irish occasions, the All-Ireland's hurling at football final, and everybody from every team and everything answer and laughing and roaring and shouting and excitement and everything. But that hour outside Croke Park before you go in is always a great time for meeting those kind of friends and foes as well, kind of thing, you know. So it's a great occasion.
Finally, Irish people living in New Zealand and other parts of the world, the All-Ireland finals are a great occasion, especially if your county team is playing.
It would, yeah. The link with home is so strong, like, and I think it's manifested so much, like, when we hear, as you said, white mother, there are a lot of property, like, you know, my God, it's
such a link with Ireland, and you know, two wonderful men, and we all, Omar Hurtig, who you mentioned, the great friend as well, and a wonderful
commentator. Nobody ever had
a setting,
in a setting like, I keep you talking about the sea guns on the roof and all the rest of it. Like, it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way of kind of, yeah. But
I wish you all well.
Oliver, all
of you in New Zealand. I mentioned earlier that
I had an uncle, Tom,
that went to
the 1940s, and my wife had an uncle, Teddy Griffin, in Greymouth,
and my uncle, Tom, in
Rotherlew,
and neither of them ever came back home. And cousins like Jimmy Connolly, Seamus Beggy, and family. So good links with New Zealand, obviously. And I promise I will get there in the next year or two.
Brilliant!
Get up there in the country. So anyway,
again, occasion
we're going to have here this weekend. Like, and anybody listening or watching, I hope you enjoy what's a magnificent Irish occasion.
Vigil keep the west asleep, the west asleep. Alas and well, may err and weep when Connacht lies in slumber deep. Our lakes and plains smile fair. Sea, that chainless wave nationhood demand. Be sure the great God never planned for slumbering slaves a home so grand. And long a brave and haughty race honored and sent disgrace could yet destroy our glory's trace. For often in O'Connor's van to triumph dashed each Connor's clan, and fleet as deer Normans ran through Corsley of Pass and Aglahan, and later times saw deeds as brave and glory guard Clan Rickard's grave. Sing on. Slopes and Shannon's away, and it when all our vigil keep the West asleep, the West asleep. Alas and well may Erin weep when Connaught lies in slumber deep. But Argo boys, like thunder spray, the west away, the west away. Sing a hurrah, let England quake.
Yes, well, I hope you enjoyed that chat there with Joe, and of course the song that Joe McDonagh sang at the end of the presentation of the Liam McCarthy to Joe Connolly back in 1980, The West Awake. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. What has been making the news in Ireland tonight? Well, of course, at the weekend, you had all the marches in the north. Not a good weekend for some people. One man from East Belfast was building a bonfire. They make these huge, big bonfires. He fell and was killed. And, of course, the bonfires all were set alight on the eve of the 12th. But because the 12th was on a Sabbath day, Sunday, the Orange men and women didn't march. They marched on Monday. But the bonfires all were alight on Saturday night. And unfortunately, one of the bonfires in Belfast, embers from it, set fire to a number of houses. There was two houses completely burnt. And of course, there was controversy last week with an image of a mosque put on top of one of the bonfires in County Tyrone. A man was arrested and being questioned about that. But it just showed the mentality of some of these people. But by and large, all that praise and everything went off without a hitch on Monday. But then breaking news on Monday, from the police service in Northern Ireland, that three people were found dead in a house in Ballymena, and final details are still not released, but it looks like there was a young girl, 8, and a man and a woman killed. The police are not looking for anybody else in relation to that, which is pretty sad. And just on Northern Ireland, of course, tributes have been paid all around the world to the great actor Sam Neill. Sam, obviously,
lived in New Zealand, but he was born in Ireland in Omagh and County Tyrone back on the 14th of September 1947. His dad was an officer in the British Army, and but Sam spent most of his life here in New Zealand, and many tributes being paid to him around New Zealand and around from people around New Zealand and indeed around the world. All right, let's take another bit of music, and this time we go with Mary Black and Bright Blue Rose.
Of Normandy, that hunger
Mary Black and Bright Blue Rose, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, which is brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, Limerick and Galway take part in the hurling final this weekend. You can watch it on GAA Plus, and it should be a fantastic occasion. One of Limerick's proudest supporters, Charlie Chalk, not a good week for him. Two of his children have been jailed today for over 2 years each, a son and a daughter, for an unprovoked assault in a Limerick hotel in, just outside Limerick in Adair last year. And, you know, they come from Charlie Chalk as one of the leading Irish publicans in Ireland. His businesses in Dublin and indeed in Limerick. So the two siblings have brought great disgrace to the family. I've met Charlie a few times. He was in the news a number of years ago. He has a famous pub in Dublin called The Goat. And he was on his way to the bank with the takings from the pub probably 15, maybe 20 years ago. And a number of people approached him, or one or two people approached him, and a scuffle started over the taking of the money that he had. And he got shot in the leg, and sadly he had to have his leg amputated to save his life. But he bounced back, and he's still very much an identity in the public industry. But this would be a huge blow to the Chalk family, whatever these guys, they just were in a pub, and you know, their only excuse was these two men started staring at them, and in an unprovoked attack, and they'll have plenty of time to think about it as they head to jail over the next few days. Of course, the news broke last week about a young American woman that's been living in Ireland for the last 5 or 6 years in a beautiful housing estate in Killarney. And she was found by her 12-year-old daughter dead last Monday week. And all types of rumours went online about who was responsible, but it turned out that a Jordanian man that was living in Killarney, an asylum seeker, was in a relationship with this lady. And obviously the police would like to interview him, but weren't able to get him because he fled the country and made his way to Jordan. And now I see the police, with help from the FBI in America, he's been detained in Jordan, and the police may travel over to interview him over the next few days. There's no extradition treaty between Ireland and Jordan, but the fact that the young lady that was killed was an American citizen probably throws a different light on things. Let's take another piece of music. You're listening to Ireland Calling, and we're going to go with the Streets of New York. Dedicate this to good friend of mine that lives in New York, Seamus Smith, great GA man, and Seamus will be no doubt heading to Ireland for the football final in a week's time.
I was 18 years old when I went down to Dublin with a fistful of money and a cartload of dreams. Take your time, said me father, stop rushing like hell, and remember all is not what it seems to be. For there's fellas would cut you for the coat on your back, or the watch that you got from your mother. So take care, me young bucko, and mind yourself well, and will you give this wee note to me brother? At the time, Uncle Benji was a policeman in Brooklyn, and me father, the youngest, looked after the farm. When a phone call from America said, send the lad over, and the old fella said, sure it wouldn't do any harm. For I've spent my life working this dirty old ground, for a few pints of porter and the smell of a pound. And sure, maybe there's something you'll learn, I'll see, and you can bring it back home, make it easy on me. So I landed at Kennedy, and a big yellow taxi carried me and me bags through the streets and the rain. Well, me poor heart was thumping around with excitement, and I hardly even heard what the driver was saying. We came in the shore parkway to the flatlands in Brooklyn, to my uncle's apartment on East 53rd. I was feeling so happy, I was humming a song, and I sang, "You're as free as a bird." Well, to shorten the story, what I found out that day was that Benji got shot down in an uptown foray. And while I was flying my way to New York, poor Benji was lying in a coal city morgue. Well, I found out the old fella told him the news. I could tell he could hardly stand up in his shoes. And he wept as he told me, go ahead with the plan. And not to forget, be a proud Irish man. So I went up to Nellie's beside Fordham Road, and I started to learn about lifting the load. But the heaviest thing that I carried that year was the bittersweet thoughts of my hometown so dear. I went home that December, 'cause the old fella died, had to borrow the money from a fill on the side. And all the bright flowers and brass couldn't hide the poor wasted face of me father. I sold up the old farmyard for what it was worth, and into my bag stuck a handful of earth. Then I boarded a train and I caught me a plane, and I found myself back in the US again. It's been 22 years since I've set foot in Dublin. Me kids know to use the correct knife and fork. But I'll never forget the green grass and the rivers as I keep law and order in the streets of New York. Na na na.
The Wolf Tones there and the streets of New York, and I'm sure there'll be great celebrations in New York this weekend. If Galway win the hurling final, so many Galway people living over there, and indeed in Boston and Chicago. Say hello to good friends that live in Chicago from my home village, Mark Morrissey, Corey Connor, listen to Anna Calling regularly. Let's have a quick look at sport. As I said, the hurling final is coming up this weekend. Obviously, Limerick having won 5 Irelands over the last 7 years or 8 years. They'll be favourites against a young, inexperienced Galway team, as Joe Connolly mentioned in that interview earlier on the programme. But as Joe said, when you're in the final, anything can happen. And we can look and see what's happening in World Cups at the moment. And, the minnows can come. Of course, Galway, against all odds, beat Cork in the semi-final. So hopefully, as a Galway man, I hope that wasn't all Ireland final, or Limerick just struggled to get over Clare. So you know that Limerick, the experience will probably tell. But the game about 2:30 on Monday morning, so you can, if you're on GAA Go, have a special subscription for the last two games now, for the two finals, so you can get onto GAA Plus. .ie and get your subscription to watch the game on your smart TV or computer or iPhone. What a game it should be, and it'll be set out. Of course, tickets, if there was 150,000 tickets going for the final, they'd be all sold out. But there was 2 sellout matches in Croke Park last weekend between Saturday Mayo and Louth. Of course, Louth, you know, were the one of the star teams this year, and there were some people predicted that they'd beat Mayo, but Mayo tore them apart and had a convincing win. So Mayo make it to the All-Ireland final. I think the last time they were there was, 4 years ago. I've got the World Cup on the background here. I'm recording this early on Wednesday morning, and it's all looking good for Spain at the moment. 57 minutes into the game, they're 2-0 up. So, you know, it could be Spain's turn this year. Of course, the big game tomorrow between England and Argentina. But you never know. France 2-0 down, they may come back. So the Ireland football final will be on next weekend between Kerry and Mayo. Kerry beat Dublin. A couple of controversial moments there. Dublin certainly had a goal ruled out. If there was a VAR in the system, it certainly the ball was over the line. And on the other front, Kerry got a penalty. They had two good breaks. They got a penalty that was probably dubious. They scored a goal from that with David Clifford scoring. And then they had a blatant square ball. And I've just got a picture there from somebody with a Labrador, not a Labrador dog, a guide dog, an umpire at Croke Park. So I think, you know, such big stakes. So Dublin probably feel unlucky. And of course, closer to home here in Auckland, we've got the All Blacks here this weekend. And they're taking, or Ireland are here to take on the All Blacks. And the last time anybody won a game, a test match at Eden Park was 1994 when France beat the All Blacks. And poor old Joe Naloma, the late Joe Naloma, was turned upside down that day. And everybody said that was the end of his career. But Jonah bounced back big time and was the star the following year at the World Cup. So will Ireland be good enough to beat the All Blacks? I probably think that, but we'll just wait and see what will happen. The Irish team will be announced later in the week. And to continue the sporting theme, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry, Seamus Power, and a number of other Irish people that have qualified for the British Open Golf Tournament Royal Birthdale. So that's the northwest of England. So that is it's a full weekend of sport. Let's take some more music. Liam Clancy and the Travelling People.
I'm a free-born man of the travelling people. Got no fixed abode with nomads, I have one. Country lanes and byways were always my way. I never fancied being number one. Oh, we knew the woods and the resting places, and the small birds sang when winter days were over. Then we'd pack our load and be on the road. Open ground where a man could linger for a week or two, for time was not our master. Then away you'd jog with your horse and dog. Nice and easy, no need to go far. The life when winter days were dawning, but I've laughed and sung through the whole night long, seen the summer sunrise in the morning. All you freeborn men know the traveling people, every tinker, stone and gypsy road. Winds of change are blowing, old ways are gone. You're
travelling days will soon be over.
You're listening to Ireland Calling and the great voice of Liam Clancy and the travelling people. And the programme, as I said, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And certainly not bad. The weather, hard to believe. We're heading to the, you know, past the middle of July. And, you know, weather still pretty good here. Great weather in Ireland. Very, very dry. Water restrictions have been imposed on a number of counties for 6 weeks, and huge fines. If you are caught contravening, they're not allowing people water their gardens because there's a shortage of water. And that's obviously, you know, we go from one extreme to the other in Ireland too wet, and then we get 3 or 4 weeks of really fine weather. But the fine weather has been fantastic for farmers, getting a lot of their work done, hay and silage cut. And a lot of farmers are now, you know, a week or two or maybe three ahead with harvesting their barley, oats and wheat crops, which is good. And the fine weather looks to continue for the next 4 or 5 days. So that's good. Now, I want to say hello to a friend of mine that's heading to County Louth this weekend. Regular listener over the last few months. Originally born in Sweden, but lived in Ireland for many times, where he met his wife, Erica Lithander, works at the University of Auckland. So Eric and his wife, Fiona Leahy, are heading to Dundalk this weekend, arriving there on Sunday morning. And Eric, safe travels to you. And we'll, what do you call it, play this song, The Saw Doctors and the N17 for you. You might be driving to Galway in the west of Ireland. You might be on that N17 during your time there. Have a great time.
Crowded train.